Let us hear the Lord speaking to us by, through, and from his word. Verses 13 to 24 of Proverbs chapter 3. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us now hear the word of God as recorded for us in the first 14 verses of the book of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servants. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, having asked that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now would you be so kind and turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 1. Or if you're relying on the booklet, please turn back, especially to page 12 of the booklet. We are going to focus our thoughts this morning on what we read in the Word of God, as recorded at verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1. Let us do what we've just been doing. Let us continue in prayer. We've been praying as we've sung the first section of Psalm 119. And now together we pray that God's mercy, grace, and favour will be lavished upon us, that he would enable us to listen with care as he speaks to us, that he would enable us to understand and receive and delight in his word, and that he would strengthen us for his service. For Lord, all these things we ask to the glory and praise of Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I realize that the sentence goes on, but we're just looking at these words that God caused Paul to write to the Christians of Colossae 2,000 or so years ago. These words that God caused Paul to write for the benefit of all Christians in succeeding generations. Therefore, for yours and my benefit as well. Now, the first thing we want to notice is that we're called to hear or to listen. Paul indicates at the beginning of this verse that he had heard a report, a faithful and a full report, from his dear beloved brother in the Lord, Epaphras. Now, what report had been brought to him? How the church was getting on in Colossae. How God had founded a church there through the preaching of the glorious gospel of our God by no one less than Epaphras himself. Yes, you see, we've already noted, haven't we, from the preceding verses of this little letter, what Epaphras had told Paul. And it does us good to remind ourselves of the message that had been given. Paul had heard that the Colossian believers were those who had faith in Christ. Paul had heard that the Colossian believers were those who loved each other and other believers. All of the saints is what he mentions back there in verse 4. Paul had heard that these people had received the glad news of hope, the hope of glory to each and every individual who repents and believes. And they had responded positively to that glorious, glorious message. That message which Epaphras knew and which Paul here describes as being the word of truth, the gospel. And yet Paul had also heard that that word of truth, the gospel, this hope of glory, was bearing much fruit there in that dying city of Colossae. It was gradually declining at the expense of neighbouring places like Laodicea and Hierapolis. But there was a company of believers, and Paul heard, oh, this is great news that there are people who've come to know the Lord Jesus, people who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, people who love the Lord Jesus, people who want others to know the Lord Jesus. This is what he's heard. He's heard that God's doing a work. He's heard that God's people in Colossae are on fire for the Lord, that they're living for him. Now, what's the application of that for you and me, we may say? We're describing things of the past. But this is what every church should be like in every generation. People who are trusting in Jesus. People who are thrilled by the hope of glory through faith in Jesus. People who are loving each other and loving other believers whenever they hear of them or meet with them. This is how believers are to behave. This is what he's heard. It's a glad news that has been brought to him by Epaphras. The church is growing. It's flourishing. And that's what you and I should be praying for, longing to see more and more of, right here. And wherever there is a company of faithful believers who gather together to love the Lord. Now, the second thing we want to notice is how this man responded to the message that he heard from the lips of his dear brother Epaphras, who was in prison with him at the time in Rome. What did he do? The answer is, he prayed. Now, this is the second time Paul has made reference to praying for the Colossians in these opening verses of this little letter. Go back to verse 3. And what do we read there? We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Yes, you see, he's saying this good news drives us to prayer. Now, my friends, when you hear of a person coming to faith, and when you hear of a person walking with the Lord faithfully, when you hear of a person trusting Jesus Christ, hoping in the hope of glory, what do? Do you treat it in a matter-of-fact way? Oh, that's interesting. Or do you show some degree of apathy? So what? Oh, yes, I've heard that sort of thing before. Or is there no response? Surely the response should be to praise and thank the Lord. That's what he does in verse 3. We thank God. And we pray. And we pray. We pray for God to protect his people. We pray for God to strengthen his people. We know that God's people are under attack. They're under attack from the devil and his minions in the unseen world. They will face opposition amongst people here on earth. Sometimes that opposition may be in the home with loved ones. Do you remember our Saviour reminds us that there will be, in certain places, daughter against mother, father against son, and so forth. That can happen when a person becomes a believer. And if they're the only believer in the family may think to themselves, especially if it's a younger person who's come to faith, oh, it's just another fad. We wait for it to wear off. They treat it with some degree of indifference. But the longer it goes on, the more there may be opposition to them. And the opposition may be of a fairly low kind. For example, I know of a situation where a relative was reluctant to see a Christian member of the family come and visit someone who is unwell because they thought they'd pray for them. And they didn't want, because they're not Christians themselves, prayer or Bible reading with them. Now, obviously, we have to learn to be very wise and caring in our relationships. We want to see our loved ones one for the Lord. I heard of a situation like this just the other day. In another part of the country, a young person has become a Christian and the family are opposed, just another fad type of thing. And this young Christian had said to a senior minister, how can I see my parents and my siblings come to faith in Christ? What should I do? And do you know what the minister said to him? The minister said to him, do not talk about the Lord Jesus. Straight out at this point in time. You make sure you walk with the Lord Jesus. You make sure you know the Lord Jesus better. You love the Lord Jesus more. Make sure you're faithful and true to the Lord Jesus in what you do. And do as many practical things in the home. When you see an opportunity to do the washing up, just do it. When you see an opportunity to tidy things up which are untidy, tidy them up. But do it wisely and carefully. Make sure your own bedroom is not a heap, but is a pleasant place for somebody to be able to walk into. That there's not just stuff strewn all across the floor and the bedding all over the place. You see what the minister was doing? The minister was being practical. Just be a loving, caring person. Let them be one to the Lord without a word from your lips. If the Lord gives you an opportunity to say something in answer to a question, fair enough. But don't try and ram the message of the gospel down a relative's throat. It doesn't work. Invariably, it does not work. It puts people off. No, the key thing is that we must be loving. This love for all the saints is what is mentioned back there, as we've seen in verse 4. But here is Paul. He's heard this good news about how these people are behaving, what they're believing, what they're doing, and he's thrilled. And he's saying, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm taking you and your needs to the Lord in prayer. I'm speaking to the Lord about you. I'm mentioning you in my prayers. I am calling upon the Lord. I'm coming to him with petitions and with supplications, and I am coming with general prayers, and I am coming with thanksgivings as well for you. That's the second thing we note. That's what he did. Now, my friends, is that what you're doing? Are you praying for other believers? Thirdly, we want to know the specifics for which he prayed. Now, when you read on from verse 9, you will notice that there's some 10 or so, give or take one or two, from the list of particular points that he makes in prayer. We want to look at the first of these, which is in the second part of verse 9. I'm asking, he says, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his wisdom, of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, my friend, do you sometimes wonder to yourself, what should I pray for my loved ones and friends and for other Christians? How should I pray for them? You know, sometimes people make excuses, don't they? Well, I don't know how to pray. I'm at a loss to know what I should actually ask God for that person or for that person. Really? Why are you at a loss? Do you not read the scriptures? Do you not listen to the scriptures? Do you not learn from the example of someone like Paul? Surely that's what we're here to do. That's why these things are written. That's why this is God speaking to us. God is saying to us through this text of scripture, be men and women of prayer, and be men and women who pray that God would enable his people to be filled with a knowledge of his will. Now, notice the specific there. He's saying, I want you Christians there in Colossae to know the will of God. Why is it that Christians pray that people would know the whole counsel of God? Picking up terminology we find in the book of Acts. We want people to know all of God's word. We want people to know what God is teaching us through and by and from his word. We want people to know his will for us. Now that's really important. Why is that important? It's important, my friends, because you and I have been created by God for God. Now that's true of every human being. We've been created by God for God. People are trying to invent and develop, aren't they? Some have had some degree of success in this. They're trying to create robots of some kind or other that would serve us in our homes in some way or other. They're always pushing the boundaries of what you can do with applied technology. Now, what would they be doing in the creating of a robotic creature, being? Well, it's not a being or creature, is it? Because it's dead. It's inanimate. But what would they be doing as they try to program it? They would be seeking to see that robot serve you. No, you go into your house at present. You've got machines that will do what you want them to do. You can switch on the Hoover and it'll Hoover up the dust and the like. You can switch on the radio and you can hear a message. You can switch on the television or the video or whatever and you can watch something. You can switch on the dishwasher and it'll wash your dishes. You can put clothes in the washing machine and they'll wash your clothes. Saves you having to do those jobs and tasks. Things that are made by us, for us. Well, we've been made by God for Him. And therefore it is our responsibility to live doing the will of God for us. That is our responsibility day in and day out. Therefore we need to know God's will. And as men and women who've come to faith in Christ, assuming you have, and if you haven't, seek the Lord now, immediately, before any more time goes by. If you've come to know the Lord, you'll be saying, well, Lord, I've now come to know you. How do you want me to live for you? How do you want me to live to your praise, to your honour, and to your glory? This is the dynamic of living the Christian life. We're always seeking, in the power of the Spirit of the living God, to live to the glory and praise of God. Well, that means knowing God's will. And that's why Paul is praying that here for these Christians there in Colossae. But not just that. Do you notice what he goes on to say? You see, he's thinking about the application of knowing the will of God. You and me applying in daily living what we've discovered. Now, what we mean when we say that is, you and I have heard something and we then say to ourselves, well, how should this affect me? We're applying it to ourselves. And how should this affect me? Well, I must start doing this or I must do that. Well, now, what does he say here at the end of verse 9? He says, we're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, I think you and I grasp the meaning of the term understanding. You can hear something, you receive a piece of information. You now have a piece of knowledge. You want to understand the significance of that piece of knowledge. So you're beginning to apply it. So I've heard that. So, for example, the Lord says, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. There's a piece of information that you have received from God. There is a day that is different from the rest of the days. It's the Lord's day. And it is a day that I am to remember. And it is a day that I am to keep holy. So I must now make sure that I remember it, not forget it. And I must make sure that I keep it holy. Well, I dig further into Scripture and I discover what it means to keep it as a day sacred to the Lord, a day of sacred assembly. I'm applying the information that I have received. I've heard it, I'm understanding it, and then having understood it, I then do it. And that's where spiritual wisdom comes in. You see, the concern is that we should be wise, not just knowledgeable. We have to make a distinction between knowledge and wisdom. You can know things and you can behave like a fool because you can ignore them. No, we need to know God's will. We need to understand God's will. And then we need to live out God's will in the power of the Spirit of the living God. I mean, isn't it so thrilling, so exciting? This is why Christians love to hear the Bible. This is why they love to read it at home. This is why they love to come together to read it and to hear it explained, because they are wanting to be spiritually wise. This is fundamental. Fundamental. We don't want to be people who are ignorant. We don't want to be people who are failing our Lord. If we know and don't do, we are failing our Lord. Isn't that taught us time and time again, for example, in the first part of the Bible? Isn't that what we discover about the Israelite people? They got it wrong. Not all of them, but some of them, if not most of them, sadly, most of the time. They had been taught that they were not to bring into the worship of Almighty God the practices and ways of the nations around about. But what did they quickly do when they were in the land of Canaan? They quickly looked to what peoples around about were doing and started to copy them. And people can do that in the church today. Look around the world, see what the world is saying and doing, and start doing what the world is doing. But we need wisdom. We need wisdom. I am not arguing for you and me to be, as it were, set in aspic jelly or some sort of resin like amber where we're like fossils. We're living in the real world in real time. And we're living in the real world knowing the Saviour, loving the Saviour, and living for the Saviour. And we are aiming to be those who, in the power of God, always do the will of God to the praise and glory of God. We must always let Scripture test us. We must let Scripture challenge us. We must make sure that we are wise. And the way to make sure you're wise is to hear the word, understand the word, and ask for the Lord to anoint you with his Spirit as you hear and as you understand, so that you might apply and live faithfully according to his word and will each and every day of your life. That's the spiritually wise person. And so we learn from the saints of old, believers of old, who made mistakes. We learn from the mistakes Abraham made. You know, he was one who wasn't prepared to accept that Sarah was his wife when he thought it might mean trouble for him. So he palmed her off as his sister rather than as his wife. He lacked courage at that point in time. We learn from the mistakes of Moses, who ran ahead at one point, presumptuously on behalf of his compatriots, the Israelites. We learn from the mistakes of David. We learn from the mistakes of Eli. We learn from the mistakes of Saul, King Saul, that is, and so forth. We learn. We grow in wisdom. We see what these things are there for our instruction and for our learning. And we see what lessons the Lord would have us learn from what we read. And so we become more spiritually minded, spiritually wise. That's what we should be aiming for at all times. So here's a man who heard about Christians. Here's a man who prayed for Christians. And here's a man whose desire was to see these Christians growing. Notice how he puts it. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, he wants to see them filled with the knowledge of God's will. Filled. Not half full. Not a quarter full. Not three quarters full. But filled with the knowledge of his will. My friends, is that your desire for yourself? That you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will? That you would have a right understanding of Scripture. That you would be spiritually wise. so that you are more useful to other believers in the church, to those outside the church at this present point in time. Is that your prayer for yourself? Surely it should be. But is that your prayer for other Christians? You know, do you meet together with other Christians to pray that they would be filled with all the knowledge of God's will? And even if you're not meeting with other Christians, are you praying for that in the privacy of your home? These are challenging things, aren't they? Yeah, we might make an excuse and say, well, that was the Apostle Paul. He was a man who was given the responsibility of, with the other apostles, of overseeing the church in his time. These things are written for our instruction and learning, friends. Epaphras was not an apostle, but he was a man who wrestled in prayer for the Christians in Colossae. We know that from the end of this book. And yes, we are to be those who, like Jacob of old, and who, like Epaphras of old, wrestled in prayer. So do you pray? Do you pray at home? And do you have it as a priority to meet with Christians, to pray with them? Why do that? Well, because the Lord says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. In other words, he's saying, I want my people to come together. And I want my people to come together to pray. And I want my people to come together to pray that God's people everywhere would be filled with the knowledge of his will and with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Isn't that what you're praying for the Christians in Gaza at present? Isn't that what you're praying for the Christians in Iran at present? I would hope so. I would hope so. When we hear of other Christians, we're prompted to pray for them. And we're prompted to pray that they would know the will of God as fully as possible, and that they would be wise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. We thank you that there's so much here that we can learn and apply to ourselves in everyday living. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Make us men and women of prayer. Men and women who pray in the secret place. And men and women who pray publicly with your people as well. For Jesus' sake. Amen.